Good evening, Dan. Just going to read one poem. It's I took it from a line in a poem, William Wordsworth, called Glory in Flowers. So, the dark is pulsing as the green loop of stars drip like garlands into the black embryo of ocean below. The world you now wake to is blue and wilted, as woodlarks climb the sky like a god past pines robed in snow. And in this cosmic forest, death's amorphic handprint chisels out new shadows, clutching for the webbed wheel of night. But I remember those broken sentiments, those tangled days of fleeting glory, where my lips would die in your fingers. Now alone in this chain of ice, I sleep among the desert stones, among the blue flame that flickers, dreaming of crystals and time. Once rivers ran brightly wild, swiping our rained flesh in poetic codes, as we tried to unlearn the dark knowledge of history's hardened club. For all I can do now is hold a memory, or perhaps that flame, and place the flowers over your loving ribs, and dust over your thistled heart. Love lashed, my heart is lastly still, the glassy snows upon your lips, and the leaves like fingers melting in sunlight. If I could give you more, I would, but I cannot. I gave you promises, promises, and you gave me light, light. The years now creep like killers in that night, ghosting across the ruined empire of your body, derobing those bridal cloths. Last night I dreamt the earth had dug you up and scattered you masterly among the desolate jewels of the sea. But now I must turn my back to you and turn the sun's face away and seek you out only in reverie before the dying of this day. Thank you.
Thank you, Connor. An excellent start to the open mic section. And second on the open mic tonight is Siobhan Tanner.
We shone too brightly, my sister and I, feckless and bright, streaking the sky, not paying attention to the roving eye, drawn to us like moths to a flame, and both were burned. But who was to blame, the moth or the flame? I have one more. I want to be clever, but my stomach revolts, for the world is drowning in a sea of poets, overburdened with weight, lacking men of grit. An ineffectual intellectual and armchair activist holding up a mirror instead of a sword, flowing through my fingers instead of grabbing hold, speaking in rhyme on a square keyboard, the music of the spheres in the zeros and ones of binary code, the constant ebb and flow from worthy to unworthy, and back again we go. Rise up, lowly poet, you're the star of the show. Three, so I'll read it. Lost in separation, tangled up in thought, I fashioned a prison of the endless cloth. A thousand threads woven together to the fabric of time, I find myself tethered.
Thanks, Siobhan. I certainly know that feeling that I want to be clever, but my stomach revolts almost on a daily occasion. So third up is Dennis Stokes.
Thank you very much. It's really, really wonderful to be here. I'm from Canada, and I was hoping to read some stuff out of my time in Ireland. But I emailed some stuff to myself, and Yahoo thinks that I'm threatening the CIA or something. So I'm reading invisible writing on this that's been run off in the hotel. So I might move into like Morse code or something. First poem's called Plover. I loathe how the spring air hovers over the woods after a light rain, brings me to the plover, the wind carrying gold there in its wings. Its flight, a silent sound wave, dips and lifts like Mary's songs. I love the plover, the colors of cold snow on dark wood, cut wood, bold as ground flying. Last spring, all down the valley, I called beside the water to a new sky I could not resist as it listened or did not listen. I love the plover. I love the plover. The last poem comes out of some time I spent in Northern British Columbia where I was teaching Native students. And it's a response to a wonderful painting of totemic faces weeping in women's faces, as though they were the women weeping at Jerusalem. And so this poem comes out of that. There are lots of geographical references. I won't give you kind of a tour, but if you want, you can Google them all when you're half drunk later. Women weeping at Kispiox. The last reference is Simon Gunnanu, who was chased unfairly for a trumped up murder cause. Their faces are the house posts cut from soft wood of cedar beams. Some red, some black lines barely hold the rain back. There is the beaver clan and the frog clan, the bear's family, the raven, and all are sad. The Skeena's a mean creek, emptied from their veins until the body becomes all water. Their time floats away. I saw the conference at Kispiox. Chief Dan spoke of words, hunters of guns, while the trapper defended the Conibear. The dance was glad but sad, really, like a last powwow among clouds and thunder and no light. John Stanley spoke of plumbing in Stony Creek. Soon these houses won't stand. All we'll have is our own survival. Return, good bear, he prayed, helping spirit. Trees, relieve us, shelter. The birds wouldn't defend, but there'll be berries, mushrooms. These women's faces soften with their own water. It's hard to know if they're suffering like demons or angels. Their daughter walks manless out of town. Her feet toss sprays of tiny deaths behind her. The sky balances its hoof dance. She sees the earth's age. She glimpses the raven's shoulders turning into the wind. The clouds shift onto the rock face over Trumbler Lake, sunglint hurting. Near Hazelton, the mantles of the Seven Sisters. These totems, these few remains, weep themselves away. Rose, what shall we do, old friend? Visit Tache. Tell of Kassan's ladders for the people, bright fevers reaching back to health. We went to Kispiox, hoped for a few moments while Edgar John got drunk, Daryl Joseph stoned at 13, Louis George stabbed, a misunderstanding beside a cold stove late winter. These women close in like night visions, weeping wood, faces veiled by faith saving beauty, red coat justice scouring mountains, and Simon, last buck, rages himself away.
Dennis, I remember that advice, if you're half drunk, Google, if you're fully drunk, don't bother. Next up, we have Patrick Cotton.
Three minutes, two poems, one a four-liner, called A Contemporary Catullus on Conolingus. Catullus was a Roman poet who wrote almost exclusively on the subject of the act of sex. Conolingus, I once had a 60-year-old man come up to me after poetry read and ask me what it meant. All I'll tell you is that it has nothing to do with subsidiary of Aer Lingus.
Cunning linguist.
I think of all the rubber-tipped pencils I mouthed it gently as a boy, not knowing how long and hard my tongue practiced for this joy. Song of Songs, which has an epigraph by a namesake called Jim Cotter, a priest in the Church of England. And he wrote once, I don't think it far-fetched to draw a comparison between the making of love and the making of Eucharist. That night, reawakened, my spirit in flight, I sung amid a frenzied supplication of palms and kisses. The miracle of your lips on my neck, my tongue in your ear, swords slashing clear, choked aggressors. My fingers overboard, walking the waves of your sides, each shudder a kinetic prayer of gratitude to a god who saw me loveless for years. Your pelvic grides almost unsheathing my rod of its gossamer ephod. Your eyes as blue and deep as the sea of Galilee. The communion wafer whiteness of your skin evoking me forever in the fervor of a devotee. Scent of your cranny is a sweet and spicy jasmine. The secret tactile offerings of your moles in my mouth, metaphorical vocabulas of God's shout, pronouncing the sacredness of our eternal souls. Sounds from your mouth were holy oil poured out, your vulva tabernacle door, route of your devout coming, God's coming, dispelling doubt.
Mass will never be the same again. Next up, we have Jude O'Neill.
Okay, so I have parts 3 and 4 of the Bleeding Heart monologues. Last 2 weeks ago, I read parts 1 and 2. So here you are, texting me late in the night, treating me lower than muck. You tell me you miss me so much that it hurts. What the actual fuck? You're calling me puppy like nothing has changed. Forget your XOXO. You've clearly forgotten that you kicked me out. My Protestant wife ain't your hoe. You wanted me to come crawling back, but baby, I'm on my feet. Go cuddle your kitten and never come back. Pray God we never will meet. And yet you keep on texting me late in the night, still treating me lower than muck. Continue to miss me so much that it hurts. Honey, what the actual fuck? And then this part 4. You're gone on your holidays, far, far away, but nowhere near far enough. You're feeling electric, wet, mucky play. Bitch, I'm calling your bluff. I'm here alone, drinking and thinking of you. Whiskey, water, stout. I'm here alone, drinking, complaining of you. And I'm gonna keep giving out. Stumbling home, I pass by your house. Sitting there, all in the dark. Blackened out windows, I'm quiet as a mouse. Chilling, white, and stark. Alone again, drinking and thinking of you. Whiskey, water, stout. Alone again, drinking, complaining of you. Oh, I'm not gonna stop giving out.
Thanks for that, Jude. Now the number on the open mic has dramatically increased. We're at 22. I'll be talking about time constraints in a moment, but we're going to relax them completely for our next appearance on the open mic. It's a lady by the name of Minal. She hails from San Francisco, but is with us tonight all the way from India. So we're going to give Minal a little bit of leeway, and she can read 2 poems. Thanks a million. Oh yeah, sorry. I drifted away now.
Hi, thank you. I'll keep it short. I wrote this last week at Kilrylik. I think a lot about trauma and the wound and kind of how a wound can take on its own life. So this poem is called The Woundling. Under the stair or out in the wood comes he dancing with sharpened teeth and crooked nail, ragged as razor dug into your side, spot on the spot you get a stitch if you trot. Can't run from him, hangs on, digs in, No yanking or squealing can do him in, not till you think to stroke with love each inch of his shaft, each bristle set straight by tender fingering grace. Still he don't let go, no, but burrowing deep finds the gash that birthed him, barren salt lick and ash, tucks in like a tot and off to sleep. So one of the things that I often do on retreat is wrestle with emotions. And in my 20s and 30s, probably the dominant feeling was rage. So this poem is about that. It's called Abode. In the house of love, save the best room for rage. Give it the softest, warmest blankets. Sweet endless light of the plains, a stack of dishes to break. Tell it to make itself at home, it will anyway. Let it roam through the dungeons where compassion wrestles suffering into chains. Let it mess up the kitchen where sympathetic joy whips up confections and spaghettis for all beings. Let it piss in the pots where equanimity and generosity are disinfecting daily on their knees. Let it whirl through the study, ruffling the rondos that loving kindness composes each dawn. Notice me, it wails. Notice where it tells the truth and when it lies. Honor it like a divine guest. Or your beloved, soft-hearted child, the one who will not let you rest until you have made room in your house for one more stray cat, one more bastard child or thought, unwanted, with nowhere else to take refuge.
Thank you, Meenal, for that, and thank you for joining us tonight, and you're more than welcome back anytime if you're in this part of the world. Now, we have 16 people still left on the open mic. We have about a half an hour, 3 into 10, or 3 into 30 is 10. Please keep it short. If you have an opus with you, tonight's not the night, and you even consider keeping your introduction short if you can, and we'll try and get everybody in. Next up is Robin Palmer.
Good to finally read in Cork. This is called tinnitus, which is that horrible sound in your head that you can't get rid of. Tinnitus, you might call it. When you speak, I focus my attention on the minute bones vibrating inside my head. Malleus, incus, stapes, they grow like coral in the salted sea. I can hear the waves crashing on the tympanic membrane, every ninth one that little bit louder. A tiny fish swims the semicircular canals, ray-finned and spined, bedecked in cryptic colors. It sings when it finds the right note. Thank you.
Thanks a million, Robin. Next is Patricia Walsh.
Okay, I won't bore you with the introduction. This is called Epistolarium, or in common parlance, a collection of letters. It pays to be a total bitch sometimes, guarding our heart against transience, hoarding wedding rings against circumstance, hoping for eternity of surmise. Some awkward paper trail follows me home. A missive attack on my fleeting person. Exposed between sheets of rancid betimes. Pages of desire now lost and on annoyance. to their perfume holding close dependence. The promise of future with me runs riot. My watery applause does not dissuade you. Now our marriage proposal is promised right. Asking for derision never rang so true. Courtship by letter engenders fear. Paper dolls harm me and rolling creatures. Death or defeat over only options. Meanwhile, the tarot cards can change. You, bold fiancé, push away your honour out of sight. Never wake again, enjoy your sleep. Suicide by duvet is your only assurance. I did not attend nor entertain such paperwork, nor produce an armalise made from his paperclip. Appropriate as it would be, in your pulped arsenal, laying down your pen in gracious defeat. Thank you.
Thanks, Patricia. Next is Ray Hanrahan. The reigning five word challenge champion.
Just one for tonight. This is a poem I wrote. I suppose it was one of the first ones I wrote after I fell off came off my psychedelic motorbike at high speed. It's called The Flower of Midnight, and it's I suppose the title comes from a mondegreen, if you're familiar with a mondegreen. It was a song I was into at the time that I thought it said The Flower of Midnight. It turned out it meant said no flowers on their graves, but that's I suppose it's neither here nor there, but it gave me a title for it, The Flower of Midnight. This bloom was dearly bought with the spilling of blood and the breaking of bone. Mine, all mine, of course. It more than felt like the last stop on the road to excess. All the years formerly wasted had their harsh lesson in the end. Now the blossom has come, will I learn to love its scent? We wrote from years ago. It's called The Mystical Body. It's, I suppose, a bit humorous. If a community can be likened to a human being, with each person playing the part of an organ or some such other appendage, then I, from my own experience, must be a tooth, a preparer of my culture's nourishment, rather decayed, yet jagged and useful, sharp, pointed, and occasionally painful, an irritation in the body politic.
Thanks, Ray, and congratulations again on winning the 5-word challenge tonight. Next is Meg Streeden.
Right. A big sap after Pat Cotter's grand form about romance. This is just my feeling about colour and the many kinds of love. So, it's called Many Colours Love, like Three Colours Love. Translucent, pure, first seen you, radiant sunburst, couch of home, May peach blossoms, scent of them, pallid limp of nighttime waking, timid lemon loves, morning eyes, puffy pink puffs of first day, rosy blushing pride you win, citrus tangs of teenage years, teenage angst, white mica schist fizzles on rock of rages, mustard sharp pain push away, steely grey of stubborn look, dry chalk grey of empty bed, delphinium skylogs many summits, melt thistles to a petal pink, golden yellow in place of bittering, flame of tropics, passion clear, magenta loves the twilight years, darkened after suns loving fear, many shades of different hues, how I paint, how I love, how many kinds of hue.
You guys, now we're moving along nicely, but don't anybody relax, we still are under time pressure, so just keep them short. And next up is Sean Pent.
I dug this poem out a little bit earlier today. I guess I wrote it last Valentine's Day, because it's called Valentine's Day. But it's about basically how apathetic I am about the whole thing. Valentine's days come and go, hastily unfurled and then folded, or carefully planned, crafted for grandeur, or spent content and single, sometimes not alone, but in good company, sometimes taking it slow. And some feel safest on their own, their Valentine's partners when their Facebook friends post. I also just had this other small thing, it's only like a line or two. Basically, I did like 3 years of genetics, and I always wondered why I never did a poem about genetics. It's really hard, but I guess I'll start now by just starting. Blueprints of one or more lives recombine themselves, and into dividing cells distribute new parts.
Thanks, Sean. What a shock to find a man who's ambivalent on Valentine's Day. Never knew that. Next up is Charles Grant.
I haven't got anything of my own. Thought I'd read a sonnet by W.H. Auden, which I remember that when I was a student. A shilling life. A shilling life will give you all the facts. How father beat him, how he ran away. What were the struggles of his youth? What acts made him the greatest figure of his day? Of how he fought, fished, hunted, worked all night, though giddy, climbed new mountains, named the sea. Some of his lost researchers even write, love made him with his heights like you and me. With all his honors on, he sighed for one, who say astonished critics lived at home, did little jobs about the house with skill, and nothing else. Could whistle, would sit still, a potter on the garden, answered some of his long, marvelous letters, but kept none.
Thanks, Charles, and apology for the incorrect surname. It is Charles Clark. Now we have 10 to go, and the first of those 10 is Michael Ray.
Warming. You might think about rock pools of the intertidal zone, rich for those who live life on the edge. But where the seabed falls away and light expires in beds of brown sway kelp, I float ghost grey in the gloom, enormously unblinking. Thought spots cross my body as I open, close this tentacled umbrella. A vessel vibrates the water. I firestorm, bloom sienna red, disappear in clouds of ink smoke. We shared this home 400 million years ago. You, some bony fish who crawled through mud, claimed land rights, airspace. You fall back in, warm now, joints crab-like. I send a rasp of toxic beak in your direction as you swim weightless, net conspicuous. Do you suppose our ancient mind doesn't know about aquariums? Fishmongers, slippery deaths. Like blood, everything is warming. Your heart still flutters, but do you feel the sea whisper and dance with the stars? Have you forgotten where your tears come from?
And finally, next is Owen Murray.
I wrote this about a girl who I tried to kiss about 2 hours ago.
You wrote it 2 hours ago.
This morning. I think we were here
I think we would do much better to have sex and wake up still together in my room, with the window half open and a breeze from the street and the cars like the ocean, as they always are when I'm in bed. And we could look out the window and see the terrace with the bunting and the brown crispy Christmas tree that's been there since Christmas. And you could help me with my poetry. You could point out where a line seems wrong and scrutinize me for my oblique punctuation. And I could show you all my favorite lyrics, and that might help you with your songs. And we could do all of this from the seat of my bed, because we would be after having sex. And so the day would open up to us like a pink lotus.
Like a bit of fresh poetry, shouldn't it? Kieran McParkins, or McPark, I can't pronounce it. Kieran?
What did you just want?
1 minute gone.
pistol on standby.
J'ai écrit cette poésie entre l'Ontario française et Montréal, Québec. And I wrote this between French Ontario and Montreal on a car journey. Elle s'appelle Petit mot et patience. Je voudrais dire merci à la science pour donner l'occasion des mains et l'avidité que s'agrippait de l'âme du monde. Plus fort. A note of thanks to science. I would like to thank science for giving the hand of greed the opportunity to clutch the soul of the world more tightly.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm multi-talented Kieran, proving that French can make almost anything sound sexy. Thanks for Kieran. And now we have the multi-talented Michal and Rab.
I've done this before, remember? I know. I want to do it different way this time. Are you there? You can introduce us. You introduce it and then you start our journey.
Introduce the poet?
Yeah.
Okay. It's the poem of a Polish poet, Wisława Szymborska. It's called Vietnam. It's very short.
Woman, what is your name? I don't know. Where are you from? I don't know. Why did you dig that bottle? I don't know. How long have you been here? I don't know. Why did you bite my finger? I don't know. Do you know we want to hurt you? I don't know. Does your village still exist? I don't know. What side are you on? I don't know. It's war, you have to choose. I don't know. Are these your children? Yes.
That's a synergy we're not going to get tired of for a very long time to go. So from the multi-talented to the ultra-talented, Afro-Glitch.
I think it's fine. I've stolen. I was inspired by a poem by John Mayer, and I've taken his title off him. It's called "Slow Dancing in a Burning Room." If I follow the moonlit path into a future memory, I find you lean and supple, though you blur a little. That's because I'm pushing my heart against you, my eyes mostly closed to the squinting, bouncing dark. It's the unknown of the known that attracts me. We move lazily around the room among the uninvited ones, and I drink you in as though through a straw, slowly sucking deeply. The others have departed to be Martians. Low gravity, a safer bet than burning. The doors, both back and front, are open, and the yellowwood floor is glowing. Do we dim or brighten before the sirens blare?
Thanks as always, Africa. Now, I've really got nowhere to go after ultra talented, so the final four are all going to be ultra talented. Even if they don't say it. And the first of those four is Terry Denis.
So I think I'll call this poem to, because the two was there, love. I'm falling through the emptiness. Fight, claw back, get what's yours. For better or worse, there's silence, then a tweet, still dark. Unable to consider time, falling through space. My arms extended, calling out for love. You fly and toss your head in awe of feeling nothing. No one's there, nobody, alone, forgotten, by yourself, asking questions without answers. You're too big for this. You know how it is. Dreams don't come from a wish, a light bulb, not a child anymore. And still you want to be that child that holds out its hands and heart, wanting love, praise, approval. Halfway through life, it's empty. You're not there. All the love I gave you, you gave back to me in small doses, not more. I want to claw it all back, wrap myself in a warm blanket, lie in other arms covered in another skin, held, kissed, smothered in love I've never had. And maybe you can give it to me. And maybe you can't give it to me, because you need it too, as much as I do. Then a light bulb in the dark, when all others had been switched off.
Thanks, Terry. And next, who's making his way from the back, Aaron is on the open mic. Or is it Aaron?
Aaron.
You've just given me a poem to start with. God said to Moses, all men will have round noses, except Aaron, he'll have a square. So that's how you remember my name. Love, the deepest expression of our soul's song. The heart aligns herself with the deeper truth. We move ever deeper into the moment.
as we give thanks for the lives we live, the universe cradles us in silken fabrics. We walk barefoot in the dark forests. The flow of dreams ever guiding us home. I lie here on a bed of rose petals, ever giving thanks for love's power. It will bring tears to men of strength. As we attune ourselves with love's cosmic vibration, our souls become one. Thank you.
Well, there's a man who'll do well on Valentine's Day. The second last performer on the open mic tonight is Christy Parker.
Right.
Yes, good day, 4 minutes. Is there, that's the sports part. Is there any rugby supporters here, rugby fans? Any rugby fans at all?
No.
Yeah.
Well, I was hoping there would be, because then I could say you could kick off because this is about soccer. It's a moment to have. Today was the combination of the soccer scene over in England when the playoff in the championships was decided by Norwich beating Middlesbrough, and therefore they will take their place in the Premiership next season. And that reminded me of the time that Roy Keane signed me to play for Sunderland in a similar situation. Okay, he didn't, okay, but if he had, this is what would have happened. In pursuit of distraction, I was grabbing some action, kicking a football in y'all, turning volleys away like match of the day against the local pub wall. Then a feverish roaring interrupted my scoring, calling, "You boy, come here to me, Fiend!" And my blood quickly froze from my head to my toes, for I knew that voice was right keen. "I was having a jar with the lads at the bar, sharing some banter," he said, "but your thunderous thumping is the place inside jumping, and it gave me a pain in my head. I expected a boot, or to tell you the truth, an LP Haaland solution, but when Roy gets upset at the cast iron bet, there will follow some rough retribution. So in fear of attack, I took a step back while I studied the look in his eye. Would he go for my knee, or instead might it be at my ankles the man would let fly? But I came to no harm, because Roy was all charm as he spoke with a smile and a nod. For instead of a kicking, his mind was on picking my skills for the Sunderland squad. I was soon on a flight to the Stadium of Light, and sore and battered from training, for Roy ran the ship with the crack of a whip and kicked any fucker complaining. He would set us on fire just to help us perspire, and I saw men cry for their mothers, for in living his dream, the gaffer's regime bought our tactics from the Christian Brothers. But I somehow survived, and the breakthrough arrived at the end of a torturous month. I came into the side, and Roy had me deployed behind the lone striker up front. Under Keane's advice, at Hull I scored twice, and I popped in the winner at Stoke. At Leeds I hit four, and at Burnley two more, and I sank Derby with a toe poke. Promotion was close as the last game arose, and Wearside was ready to party. Success was assured if a draw was secured against Wolves and Rye's pal Mick McCarthy. But if Wolves should prevail, for a win then we'd fail, with Mick's side instead being promoted. I will never surrender to that bollocks pretender, so destroy him, our gaffer emoted. With the point almost gained, just a minute remained, and the memory tortures me yet. Racing back to defend, my missed kick served to send the ball into my own keeper's net. Well, that set the stage for a dressing room rage as Rye became keen or demented. There was spitting and cursing and blood vessels bursting and new metaphors being invented. "You lump of all crap," he began with a snap. "You suck from a scouser's type ready. You putrid old leech washed up on the beach. You skunk from the sick mackerel's belly. You pig eating feed where Mulgargan has peed. You've guts I'd use them for bait. You stink like a turd that's been heated and stirred and left for 3 days on a plate." At the height of his taunting, he called me Steve Staunton. And even a manky prawn sandwich. I said, "Listen, my man, you're not in Saipan, and by the way, tone down the language." Steam shot from his ears as he sneered, "It appears the best place for you is a hayfield." In defense of my pride, I quickly replied, "In yours, in a cave up in Mayfield." More foul language ensued, during which he accused me of being a waste of space langer. Then he said, worst of all, I do well in the doll. So I swung at the lee side head banger. Bri launched a headbutt and I knew I was cut when I saw the blood run from my nose. So I jumped from the floor, stamped his foot and he swore as I fractured all five of his toes. And then my old Quinn, the club chairman, came in and seeing Bri hopping in pain, he tugged at his shirt asking, Bri, are you hurt? Or are you pretending again? Bri's fist on his mouth and a kick to the snout and he landed poor Quinn on the floor where he cried, that's enough, you must think of Bri Clough. Well, Bri, there is the door. So Bri went his way and the very same day I followed him through the same gap with Quinny insistent on remaining resistant to paying for Corkman to scrap. So if you're in a pub for a pint or for grub the next time you're visiting y'all, that bang, wallop and thump that makes your heart jump is me hitting my head on the wall. Thank you.
Thanks, Christy. Wonderful little results. I'd just like to point out that the four he got against Leeds, I'm a Leeds fan, we got five that day. The final performer on the open mic tonight is Artem.
Do you understand why I am silent? In this whirlwind of sneers, I carry my soul like food on the platter toward the coming years. On the stone stubble of the public pavement, I slide like unnecessary tears. I am a poet, and I'm possibly the last one. Feel my fingers move on your head. Your lips will smile for gorgeous kisses. And the tongues of all nations will be as your own. What about me? Bright, shining me. I'll dissolve in the distance, like a little lost soul. Descend to my throne through crumbling walls. with holes full of stars. Bright, shining me. I lie down lazy in the linen sheet. I make my bed in the shift of the street and quietly kiss the knees of a track while I wait for a freight train caresses my back.